Welcome, everybody. You're about to listen to three guys committed to bettering themselves through conversation. No topic is off limits. No feelings are spared. Stay tuned and enjoy the conversation. You're listening to the Committed Mentality Podcast. And this came up because I watch a lot of court shows and stuff. And so I watch Paternity Court and Divorce Court. I don't know, it's my guilty pleasures. So the question is, how long could you go without intimacy from your significant other before you said, fuck it, and just... and just cheated? Because I was watching an episode and the guy was like, well, what else did you expect me to do? And I was like, man, I could see his point of view in his relationship. But it led them to divorce court, where they were but not all divorce courts are like they end up in divorce. It's more for like counseling for their marriage. And so like the advice was, okay, well, is there a way for you two to kind of like start connecting and stuff? It turned out that there was a whole bunch of other issues why they were having intimacy issues. But I was like, oh, well, that's a simple question that I thought was kind of funny. You know, how long could you go without intimacy? Not just sex, intimacy.
So well, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah,
what do you mean,
it's not sex. It's just being intimate with your partner. So he was complaining like, I should have said that.
Kissing, touching.
Yeah, it wasn't no kissing. It wasn't like hand holding, no touching. Like all of that is what he was talking about. It wasn't just having sex or any time.
I'm not about to go cheat. I'm leaving.
Right. The question is, how long do you put up with it? That's the question. Not like if you're going to or not. How long could you put up with that?
I don't know. I have a long fuse.
Okay.
But at the same time, if I notice a change in the patterns, I'm not going to let that shit just marinate.
Okay.
Like I'm going to bring it to her attention. Yo, babe, what's going on? Like, is everything okay? We need to talk.
What is this?
I'll probably give it maybe a week.
What if you were lulled into that though? Like, what if it slowly stopped over time? So this dude, they've been in a relationship. I can't even remember how long, but I know it was like some years. So in his argument, he was like, he didn't even realize like it was happening until one day he just realized he went a whole day without even seeing her, but had like no physical contact, no connection with her anymore because it just wasn't there. And then he started thinking back, you know, about the relationship. And next thing he knew, he was just trying to be with some other woman. Oh, that was her complaint. Her complaint was he's always looking at other women or always trying to be with other women. And that's when he started explaining the intimacy issues.
Well, this all sounds sketchy to begin with because it sounds like he's super lost in the sauce, period. Like, if you're going, like, it just, that like, something like that kind of just comes upon you. It's like, where the fuck have you been?
It didn't come upon him. It just it happened over time where they, like, they started kissing less. Like, you know how, like, normal relationships go? Like, you kind of, you lose a little bit of that over time.
You get over the honeymoon phase.
Yeah. And so I was like, well... When he started getting to that point, I'm like, damn, how long could I last before I was like, fuck it, I'm done.
But I think a lot of things would play a factor there. Like, I think that's kind of what Brent was getting at with, like,
the long
fuse and all that. Oh, see, and that's another thing, too. Like, it depends on what age your kids are. There's a lot of things that go into it where you can be busy as shit. You cannot really have much time. You still should be kissing and hugging and stuff randomly.
So if one day you realized that you hadn't kissed your wife in a while or your girlfriend or whatever, how long do you think you could last after that?
I mean, to me, it's tough to say because I feel very similar to like how Brent said, like that I would just be like, hey, like something's going on here. We got to do something. But to if I was to just say like, oh, I've been this long, because and when you say how long could I last, is it like before I would be ready to leave? Or you said cheat, right?
Well, he was looking at other women, so I guess it's cheat. Her problem was he was always trying to like hook up with other women. I don't know. They didn't say like if he did, like there was no proof or anything, but she just always had speculations, so, which led to his argument of there being no intimacy. So I think I kind of like checked out after that, but it was my mind started wondering like, damn, if I didn't have like any kissing, any touching or anything, like that's the reason I'm in a relationship. Right. So like, if I couldn't do that, what the fuck am I in this relationship
for?
Like,
sure.
So then I was like, well, damn, how long would I last in a relationship where I couldn't, or not like couldn't, but like where it wasn't going on?
I guess then let me talk to that. It sounds like you're saying like it, almost more so, let's just go straight to if we were at that point and we just still were realizing like we had already said something. Or,
yeah. The question is, do you feel like the relationship is done at that point?
The relationship is never done unless the people choose for it to be done.
If there's no intimacy, you don't feel like it's done?
Never done.
No. Just like Aaron said, like I don't think it's done. It can come back just from open and honest conversation.
It could, but I don't understand how you get to that point.
Easily. People get comfortable.
But when you got to the point of there being no intimacy, like, I can't imagine, like, the urge of not wanting to be intimate with my woman.
There's also the part of pride. Someone could be upset that you, like, your woman could be upset that you, she has way too much pride to say something about it. So she's just going to act a certain way and hope that you pick up on it. Same thing goes for a dude. Yeah. He could be upset at his woman, be mad, just avoid her and hope she say something about it.
Right.
And then when she don't say nothing, the problem just balloons.
Yeah. I think we talked about that before. I think pride is like the root of all.
Pride is tough, man.
Pride will get you killed, man.
Pride is tough. That's why, like, I think when we were talking that that one episode about, like, how stuff, like, really opens your eyes and you get really, like, in self-reflective moments, it's when something hits your pride hard.
Yeah.
And when something hits your pride hard, it's like, it's kind of like the moment. I think everybody hits a time when all of a sudden they get shown who they are as opposed to who they thought they were.
You know, like, I talk about integrity a lot, and I try to have integrity. I really have integrity with my businesses and stuff. Probably not the best integrity in my relationships, just being real. But when I went through some pride shit, I'm just a real dude. I went through some pride shit because when I had I had worked really hard to get to the position I had with the company I was working for, and I was at a high level. And once I quit to have my own company, I was getting all these, like, congratulations and, like, everyone trying to make me feel like I'm the man. And, like, I felt good. But when you get to those points where you're feeling good and your business isn't producing in the way that you want it to produce, man, I hit, like, a low where I didn't want to be intimate with my wife because I didn't feel like the man that I was when I was bringing home those big checks that were regular. And I think that kind of also played into this question too,
like,
a little bit for me.
You ain't deserve the pussy.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah,
I feel you.
Like, for real, that's real shit. Like, I didn't feel like I was the man that she had signed up for. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel strong anymore. I didn't feel like I was the supporter. And I was still bringing home a lot of money. I was still bringing home as much money as I was before. I just didn't feel confident about my company that I had. And it really, like, and it was like, it hurt my pride. So it just made me not, you know, I didn't want to be, I don't know, like, I couldn't even fuck the same. Like, it was like, it really fucked with my pride. Like, it really
just
hurt
going
me.
Through the motions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pride is a wild thing, man.
It is.
It's a wild thing because, like I said, it definitely takes something to happen to really, like, shock your system or.
Yeah. You ever had something like that happen?
For sure. Like,
give me a story.
So similar to, like, I think what Brent was talking about, I had it in my relationship and stuff like that where stuff happens and you have those moments like he was talking about where you get into self-reflective mode and you're like, oh no, all this is happening because of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I created this situation. Yeah. I created this. And the reason that things kind of progressed in this manner or whatever. And when those things happen, it's like, first of all, it takes you a while to get there to really, like, and maybe it did for you too with the business. Like, it kind of took you a second. But then when it does, it's like, it's really weird to you because you feel like, damn, like, you always thought leading up to that, like, oh, nah, like, if anything happens to me, mm-hmm. it's because somebody did something to me. And I think that's how we all get in, like, so many aspects of life. That's why I always tell people now, like, don't look so much into what somebody else is always, like, thinking and this and that. Like, control what you can control.
So what was your specific pride situation?
It was, like, going through relationship troubles with my wife now and, like, mm-hmm. stuff happening. And because we both have had really, like, wild situations and times where we both fucked up pretty bad in the mm-hmm. relationship. And when it wasn't me, you know what I mean? That's another thing that I realized at that time. When it's you, you also think about it differently.
Yeah.
You also think about it differently, like, it's not that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, or you get over it quickly because it's a mistake you made.
Right.
But when somebody makes a mistake to you or hurts you or whatever, then it feels different because you're like, why would they do this to me? And I can't believe this and this and that. And then after you go through that cycle of a while, then you finally get to a point where, hold on, they didn't, like, do this to me. First of all, most likely, almost everybody does what they do for them.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
I went through that.
Yeah, and it's not for selfish purposes. You know what I mean? Like, it is to a degree, but you start realizing that, like, so many of us live in our own head mm-hmm. so much that we we get super, narcissistic, even not even realizing it.
Yeah.
Like thinking so much that happens.
Well,
that
I realize it. I know I'm narcissistic. But, B, what you got? You have a pride situation?
I'm sure I have.
Nothing came to mind?
Nothing jumps to my head right now. I'd have to dig in the archives for that because I can't think of anything specific. But I'm pretty sure I have at some point.
I've had a few until I realized like mental growth. Like it took me a minute. Like when you talk about just now, like being narcissistic, I know that I am. Mm-hmm. Like I love myself and I'm happy about it. I love my life. Like I love everything about me. I like everything about my family that I've created. Like I'm a happy fucking dude because I'm just happy. And it makes me narcissistic because I'm like, man, damn, look what I did. Look at my kids. Look who I've raised.
I don't think that's narcissism.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it depends.
I feel like it is for me, but
I think it depends on the person. You'll have a lot of people that tell you it is. I mean, maybe we'd have to hear like the. A psychiatrist, actually, or somebody
probably
like,
acknowledging and appreciating what you have done.
I give myself a lot of credit for stuff,
but there's a lot.
You should,
for sure.
You should.
I was just gonna say when you said that, like I feel the same way, and I talk a lot that same type of way. And
damn it, I feel the same fucking way.
But the weird thing,
y'all try to gas me up. Don't
No, I'm here with you. I'm on the same shit, bro.
Yeah, one of us are gonna have to play devil's advocate.
I know.
I feel the same way, bro. I get called arrogant all the time.
Yeah,
I ain't arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I'm aware.
I'm proud of the shit that I've done. Even the negative shit. Like I never shy away from bad stuff that I've done because in my mind I'm like, well, it made me realize this or that. Like I don't give a fuck if I make a mistake. This doesn't go in hand with like integrity because I don't do anything. That's negative of integrity or whatever the opposite is. I don't know what the opposite is, but I don't do anything like that, like where I have to risk integrity for like my business or for stuff like that, aside from relationship stuff. But when it comes to when it comes to like stuff that I've done that's wrong, it'll make me realize, even in relationship stuff, if I have, you know, an ill intention, then it makes me realize something about myself. Like, oh, okay, maybe I want that. Maybe that's something I'm missing. Or maybe I need to do a self-check and understand myself a little bit better. So, like, the negative stuff I even embrace.
With the shit that
you got to embrace the negative.
Yeah.
You have to. You got to be aware of all spectrum.
Yeah.
With the shit that Brent was talking about, though, about, like, being proud of this.
That's the shit I be talking about, man. I'd be like, I'm fucking crazy.
Like I feel like you be talking about like killing people, man.
He said embrace the hate.
Don't he?
He didn't say
listen,
embrace the
listen, hate. Listen. You can't listen. You can't take everything to the extreme. You went to the very extreme of what I was saying.
I think we do that because he's absolute Brent, right?
Absolute.
Yeah,
but don't be that extreme with me, though. I'll tell you. I'll let you know.
He said embrace the hate.
You got
what?
To.
Yeah, hate is a strong word, bro.
And then even past embrace the hate, he said that we're all naturally violent.
Yeah,
and
he went to that. You took it there.
I wasn't about to kill nobody.
But to spit,
I'm not gonna kill nobody.
I'm gonna pull a Karen on your ass and call the cops. Get this motherfucker! He's trying to kill people.
To spin it back to what you said about like being proud of what you created, I think that's a weird thing for some people to hear, and it's why I said like. Depending on the person that you're talking to, they might take that as like a narcissistic thing.
Because their confidence is low.
Well, that's definitely something that plays a factor. But I also feel like there's a lot of people that say like, well, you've been blessed with that.
Yeah.
You've been, and there's some of that. I feel like some of what I have in my life and stuff like that is definitely something that was things that are somewhat out of my control. I feel super blessed that I had one boy, one girl, when like that's exactly what I would want out of having kids. Like, yes, like. I didn't create that at all.
But you know what? Another thing, though, like I got my boy
but
and my girl.
At the same time, you did.
But I did, too. Yeah, to a degree.
I got my boy and my girl, and then I stopped. You know what I mean? Like, I tried to be responsible enough where I wasn't out here while having kids and shit. Like, I got a vasectomy to make sure I wasn't out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like sometimes people will be like, oh, I got all these kids or I got this. Like, why weren't you trying to not have kids? Like, you seem like you were doing everything to have kids.
You made bad decisions.
Yeah. I don't knock anybody for being a single parent or going through whatever they've gone through. But sometimes people use that shit as an excuse and a crutch as if I should feel some type of way for them. Mm-hmm. Because of what they did, I don't give a fuck. People went that picked the wrong dudes. Yo, I went on a
That's a conversation y'all ain't ready to have.
Yo, we can have that conversation on a whole nother. Let's have that conversation on the whole nother thing, bro. Like I'm ready for that one.
I got hella bars for y'all.
Oh, lock that in the books. Lock that in the books. But yeah, so pride is a bitch, and I think that pride might lead into intimacy issues. And what is the way around that?
But that's your relationship is in jeopardy when you place your pride over your partner.
Facts.
Is that what you took from that, or are you just taking that from what Brent said? Is that what you took from their situation when you were watching the Court TV shit?
I mean, for me, what I took from it, I liked the question aspect of it, just for us to talk about it and have a conversation about it. But for me, I always feel like people don't talk enough.
Oh, when, for sure.
So, like, for me, it would have been just like, how come you didn't say this shit sooner, bro? Like,
well, I can answer that one easy to be like Brent. I can answer that one real easy. In most relationships, there's at least one person in that relationship that is not a communicator.
Yeah.
It's almost all of them.
My wife's it's in our relationship. She don't talk about nothing.
Mine either.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm a talker, so I don't give a fuck. talk about
I don't know if I can. I can't do that.
You can't talk?
No, I can't be with someone who doesn't talk.
Oh.
Like, I can't do that. You got to fucking talk to me, dog.
Yeah.
Like, you have to give me the same energy that I give you. I talk to you.
I'm like that.
I need you to talk to me.
I'm like that in friendships, too. Not just my marriage relationship.
It's a personality trait.
Yeah. That shit's a deal breaker for me, bro.
Yeah.
It's weird, too, though, but a lot of it comes from parenting. A lot of it comes from, like, if you come from parents that, like, instilled that in you early. My mom was always, like, a real big person on, like, communicating, like,
mm-hmm.
from the time we were the tiniest, like, and you would think maybe even too early to tell the kid to, like, explain this situation or talk to him about this or whatever. Like, I remember we talked about it before, and I said we were talking about fighting and random stuff like that, and I was like, yeah, my brother used to whoop my ass all the time when I was mm-hmm. little and stuff like that. When it'd be over and I'd be, like, crying, upset, or we'd be talking about what happened or whatever, my mom would always, like, talk to me, like, what happened, why do you think this happened, this and that, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't me that was doing it, you know what I mean? And she would explain, like, oh, yeah, him this and you did this and blah, 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 whatever. And then she would just, like, make me explain stuff. And that was from the jump. But that shit carried on throughout my entire childhood and all that. And that stuff plays a big factor when you get older and to get into relationships. If you don't have that as a child and mm-hmm. coming up, I think that's really hard to just, like, turn on. And for my wife and her family and stuff, they went through time periods where, like, it was just three women living in the house. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just that alone, you know how, like, emotions high, arguments, all that type of stuff or whatever. But they went through times where, like, they didn't talk to each other. Her and her sister didn't talk to each other for years, living in the same house as kids. And, like, when you have situations like that happen, and one, the parent kind of allows that, and then two, that it's just, like, something that is considered normal, then communication, like, starts falling by the wayside.
Yeah. Pride.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's pride.
Yeah.
I had something to add. I forgot.
And then you have those people who just refuse to explain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the way that they're looking at it. It's not like you're in trouble or you have to explain yourself.
Yeah,
but you have to communicate, like, what is going on to your partner, you're feeling, what you're going through.
I think that goes along with being ghosted, like not being able to explain yourself. I think I'm into this new MTV show called Ghosted, and I've been thinking about that because I was ghosted, and I know the pain of not knowing because I'm a communicator. I know, like, what these people are going through because I'm like, man, fuck, like I'm pissed at these people that, like, did the ghosting, you know what I mean?
Is it like relationship ghosting or just ghosting?
Oh, friendship,
in general?
Just ghosting in general.
Any type of relationship.
Yeah.
And somebody just, like, going,
yeah,
like, disappear.
You whatever happened, from them, you can't get a hold of them.
Blocked you, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I got you.
So I went through that with my best friend, old best friend, and, like, no clue what happened. None. And, like, it's just the craziest thing. So, like, I feel for anybody like that because I'm a communicator. So I want to know the problem. And he would know that better than anybody because he was my best friend. So holding that from me hurt. He knows it hurts me more than, like, anything. So, like, I had been in pain for it for a long time. And it was around the same time. That's why I brought this up, because it was around the same time where I started feeling, like, inadequate, like my business was inadequate, like all those kind of things that led to intimacy issues. And so, like, I can completely relate. I think that's why the question had stuck with me so much, because I'm like, man, I've been through that, but obviously, like, I kind of got out of my slump and I kind of communicated.
But that's exactly why I say, like, it's about things that happen in people's lives, and most of the time it's more about them than yeah. than you, because when things happen, like in those situations, your wife, whoever dealt with you in that time period when you were going through that slump, mm-hmm. were probably thinking like, damn, like what am I doing wrong? Yeah. What is this or this and that? When really it's something going on within you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I see more and more. So I'll see, I have these conversations with my wife or someone in my family or friends or whatever, and they're like saying like, oh, so-and-so's being like this. I don't know why they would do that shit to me or this and that, or like, there's no reason to be like this or what. All these different things are, I bet they're thinking this. I bet they've been talking to so-and-so and they've been saying shit about me and this and that. I'm like, you got to be careful always yeah. assuming.
Well, luckily my wife knew what was going on with me. She didn't really know like I was having issues with like being intimate with her, but she knew like, she knew something was going on. So it kind of like, it wasn't like an issue that was pushed. So it was like, it didn't cause like any harm in our relationship, but I did have to like get myself out of it, mm-hmm. and I had to talk myself through some shit, because I didn't, once I quit my main job, like I feel like I lost like everything, like everybody. I was around people all day long, solving problems, helping people, to them being home, wife at work, kids at school. And now I'm at home trying to run a business in a home office by my damn self, without my best friend to talk to every day, without my work best friend, my work wife, like not being able to talk to her, none of my assistants to order around, like, and just home. And then my friendship had just ended, ghosted. So like I had a lot of heavy shit, like for me, heavy shit. May not be heavy to nobody else, but for me, with my wonderful life, my life is golden. So like that shit was heavy for me. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I looked at Britt, like, and then there's Brandon. They ain't been through shit.
Yeah, my life is golden, bro. Like,
life was in shambles.
The milk spilled, and it was the end of
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, that's how good my life is. That's if you give y'all an idea, like my life is great. Right. And I have no problems with it either.
The thing you said a minute ago, though, I thought was like super dope and super important too, though, is that you said I had to bring myself out of it.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people, myself at times, other people, I think probably you guys at times, everybody, humans, get in these modes sometimes where we think like somebody needs to save us, yeah. or like.
I've never been in that mode.
Well, and if you haven't, that's good. And I think you're probably in the minority, because that's what I see.
I think from, so too.
Like, I'm always in the minority.
I agree with that.
So yeah, you're right.
From like social media and everything, that's what it seems like. And I saw this like quote one time that said something like, instead of always beating yourself up, be the one to save yourself.
Yeah.
And I was just like, damn, like that's powerful, because you talk to and deal with a lot of people in your day to day, everyone does, that you know that really like beat up on themselves and say like, oh man, I'm this, I'm that, or I'm always fucking this up or this or that, whatever. And those are the people that have like a lot of like mental emotional problems, mm-hmm. because of that. But if you're when you talk to the people that are about like saving themselves, taking their own self-reflection and responsibility, things like that, whatever, it seems like they have a lot less problems and issues going on.
Starts with having a committed mentality.
My God.
let me ask y'all this question. So beating yourself up, you don't think that would be a good thing?
It all depends.
Because you got to think about this. If let's say you doing a whole bunch of wrong shit, mm-hmm. but you're not taking no accountability for it, you're just going to keep doing it. But if you stop and you start looking at everything that you fall short in, all of your shortcomings, and you just start tearing yourself down, mm-hmm. you don't think that would be a good thing?
I think people don't know the difference of the two, of self-reflecting and self-improving versus beating yourself up.
Yeah.
So I think it's two very different things that are kind of the same, but are very different. So like beating up on yourself is like, to me, when you hear people are like, I'll never be good enough, I'm this, I'm that, like nobody's gonna love me, this and that, like that's the beating yourself up shit.
Yeah, there's no resolution.
Yeah. You're stating like
there's not.
No, he's saying saying it like there's no resolution. Okay, like right. They're saying this is a problem with me that's never going to be solved.
Yeah,
right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like complaining about not being tall enough. Like, yeah. Okay, you ain't going to fucking grow.
That's
all right? What's your next thing, motherfucker?
Again, that's extreme.
But I'm saying like that's
something you can't change.
But I'm saying like that's the mentality behind it.
You're talking about, I think, you're talking about something internal.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
I'm saying they're resolving
physical attribute. You can't change being tall.
That's the point. I'm saying that's the mentality behind that type of complaining. What he's talking about is like,
I see what you're saying.
But even past that, you can get to a point where you accept that, and it's not a problem to you anymore, and you stop beating yourself up about it. That's what I'm saying. Is like, there's a very different, like, totally different way about going about those two, when those are very similar things. You know what I mean?
Like, I think the mentality going into it has to be a certain way.
I think you have like the bully approach.
Because this is why. You can't just go into it without any end game, with yeah. no plan. Like right. if you're going to beat yourself up and tear yourself down, you have to have there has to be a light at the end.
But
of
that's exactly yeah. that's
you
why
you have to go into it mm-hmm. with a reason why I'm doing all of
yeah.
this. Like there has to be something that comes from this. There yeah. has to be some type of change.
That's exactly why he said you got to be careful with the shit that has no resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't harp on the stuff or set these things up for yourself as this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is who I'm always going to be. This is.
That's
this
like people who blame their bad characteristic traits on their zodiac sign.
Oh, yeah.
Their zodiac sign, their parents, their.
You know, that bullshit. Man. Like, you're a horrible person because you're a Gemini. No, yeah. you're just a horrible person. They'd be like, I'm an Aquarius. I hate fake people.
Yeah.
Man, fucking everybody hates fake people. That's not a zodiac trait. Or I'm a Pisces. I'm always late. No, you're fucking selfish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not your zodiac sign.
You need to grow the fuck up.
You need to grow the fuck up.
I think we definitely agree. We hate when people have excuses that they blame on other shit.
Yeah, big time. Like the upbringing is one of the biggest ones for me. Like I can't. Like I get it. Like I said. Like when. Like even when I mentioned it just a minute ago with like communication and stuff like that, but there's a certain people where it kind of goes back in the conversation me and you've had a decent amount of times on here, where it's like if anyone that has came from your situation has turned into a decent person, you yeah. could have too,
right?
You know what I mean? And you don't know everybody's details and situation, right. dark secret. Some people got some dark shit in their childhood and stuff like that. Or whatever.
I feel like some people let that dark shit hold them back
they
too.
They use it as a yeah. like you said as a crutch or yeah. excuse or whatever.
Or they use it just as a they think that it's a barrier. Like, so I get really annoyed. So I used to like to watch American Idol, and then they would do these in-depth stories of their hometown and their back life and all this backstory stuff and all these tears. And like, I hated that part of the show because so fucking what? Like, we all got shit. We all got baggage. Like, I have shit and baggage. I just choose not to make that part of my fucking narrative and live that shit every day and be
yeah,
like,
but
oh,
some, but not everybody's baggage weighs the same.
I understand that, but
some people
at
got
the same
much
time,
heavier shit that they dealt with in their past.
I mean, there's some heavy shit that I've been through.
And that shit can fuck with you for a while.
It can. I completely agree. There's stuff that I have in my bag that I know I could use as a crutch. Or I could use for whatever. But I choose not to use that as something that identifies me every single day. And I feel like sometimes when people try to give their backstories or this is the way I am now, like, yeah, but you can fucking change. Like, that's not your barrier to life. That's not your barrier of entry to anything.
But you also got to understand that not everybody knows that.
That's my point.
They gotta
come to that understanding that
how
that's
will
not
they come
that.
To that understanding that they can change if they don't think that that's possible. That's not even in the realm of that's not even in their mental capacity.
I don't know.
That's the tough part. That's why you see a lot of people just living with that.
I think
shit
it's hard
and
to
just keep leaning on it.
I think it's hard.
They don't
to
know.
Give
they
people,
don't know that they can change it.
Right.
I think it's hard to give people a pass after a certain age. That's where I think like the thing kind of clicks in. After a certain age, you kind of start to think like. You know the difference between right and wrong. You know what you're capable of to a degree. Like, you know, you've seen other people around you make changes in their lives. Mm-hmm. You've watched a story, a documentary, a movie, or this and that, where, like, somebody turned shit around or became a better person or did this or kicked this habit or did, you know what I'm saying? Like, a number of different things. So, like, there's kind of, like, that's kind of the barrier for me. Like, I can see a young knucklehead dude or a young wild girl and be like, man, like, they're young, they're on some bullshit, you know what I mean? But when like they get older, it's like, what are you doing?
So
what are you doing? Because you know better.
Yeah.
You talk to people that probably tell you to do better.
Right.
You watch movies, TV, this, that, whatever, listen to stuff, read books, do whatever it is that you do in your day-to-day that tells you should be acting different or conducting yeah. yourself differently to better yourself, but you're not.
I like that topic. I think we should continue that on another podcast. So let's wrap this one up. What did you learn from the intimacy question?
What did I learn? You typically repeat the question that you were just asked when you don't really have an answer for it. I didn't learn anything because I already knew.
Yeah, I feel like when it comes to intimacy issues, I think what it all boils down to communication. I feel like almost everything can boil down to that, but communication and pride. I think you said it in the beginning. You know, some people have too much pride where they can't move on from connecting with their partner because they're, I've had pride about a lot of shit, but I don't have pride about talking about stuff.
There's pride and then there's fear.
Yeah.
Just fear of opening up, fear of being vulnerable.
Yeah. Oh, before we end that.
Which is kind of like pride, which is the same
thing. Have you had a fear of being vulnerable?
In my past, I have.
Yeah, I don't have that fear anymore. I haven't had it in a long time.
It's been a while for me, yeah.
You mean like vulnerable in a conversation or?
I think in general. I think that could be general. I don't know if that has to be a conversation.
Well, I'm just trying to pinpoint, because I think we all have a little bit of fear of being vulnerable, whether we want to admit it or not, because that's why we do so many things in our day-to-day to try to be strong in certain
aspects.
You know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
Accepting that you are vulnerable is strength.
For sure. But I still
holding it in and pretending shit doesn't hurt, pretending shit don't bother you, that's weakness.
But also learning to not let small shit bother you is a way to keep yourself from being vulnerable.
Well, yeah, you got to understand what's important and what's not.
But that's what I'm saying. So it's kind of like there's kind of a very particular thing to that. But to spin it back into what we were talking about, of like what I learned from it all, the one thing I will say is I'm not sure.
Or what do you take away from it if you didn't learn anything?
I'm not sure we can.
That nigga was selfish. That's what I took away from it,
for sure. I'm not sure we can dumb it down to just communication, just because I think that is like, of course, I think that may be the biggest factor and the biggest problem in relationships that I see as well, too. It kind of seems like we all kind of share that thought. Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
comes back to communication.
Listen to me for a second. I think there's a lot of factors that come into play, because I know of certain relationships where, like, I know relationships of older people where they're not intimate because they really can't, or because, like, how their relationship is, you know what I mean, how their health is and stuff like that.
Well, like, you could show affection in different ways.
That's not the same thing, though.
Well, listen. I'm just saying, I know other relationships where, like, both people are so busy
mm-hmm.
that they, like, never see each other.
Yeah.
And they kind of are when they get a chance, but at the same time, like, sometimes they get so busy, and I've seen relationships split because of this. Like, legit, like, people with kids, divorce and stuff, like, they're so, like, on the go
yeah.
that then when they're around each other, it's like, just to, like, eat and sleep and back to being busy and running the kids here and doing this and, like, stuff like that. And it has ruined relationships. So there's a lot of factors that come to play. Yes, communication might
have been able to, that C word.
To change that yeah. by saying, like, we need to slow down or we need to do this.
I think sometimes being busy is a cop-out, though. I can understand. I can understand people being busy.
That could be an excuse.
It can be.
Because sometimes you can take a minute to email back somebody that was important. Why can't you treat a message to your wife as same importance?
Mm-hmm.
No, mm-hmm. I agree with that. But I'm not also saying busy as in just in business. So I'm saying like busy in general. Like I'm saying.
I don't think that you're ever too busy to communicate.
No. I don't think so either. Communication.
Which is why I don't feel but like I, think some, I feel like it's more of an excuse than a resolution.
Well, what I'm saying is sometimes too busy to be affectionate, which is weird.
Yeah, but you can show affection in a lot of different ways, and you can make plans for that. Like, there's nobody, like, not even Jeff Bezos is busy that way. I mean, I know he's going through a divorce, but that's probably on some other shit.
Who knows?
He's going through a divorce because he wasn't busy enough.
right, he was right. getting intimate with a lot of bitches.
Man,
if I was Jeff Bezos, nigga, you tell me,
bro, I'm worth $200 billion. Like, you just gonna have to sit down and
look
shut the fuck up.
You could cut my money in half, and I'm still the richest person right. in the world. Fuck you. Your vagina just became trash to me. Stay over there. Go
wild.
Get whatever dick you want.
Nah, I'm not joking. I don't know how it'd be if I had $200 billion.
Right,
but. That's being too busy is an excuse
for me. For me, I don't buy any of that. Like I hate when people resolve to excuses that can be fixed, and they feel like they can't see them being fixed, but maybe they're afraid to talk about it and try to fix it, or maybe they don't want to fix it. But I feel like there's a lot of relationship excuses that people just I think people get scared to resolve relationship issues.
Yeah, for sure. They get scared to communicate too.
Yeah.
But the one thing, if we do want to like dumb it down and make it as simple as possible, it's what I said too. Like, it totally depends on if both people want to try to make it work. If you have one person in the relationship that's not really doing what it takes to try to make it work, there's the other person is just fighting this uphill battle to the end of time. So the main thing is both people have to at some point be like, something is wrong here. Some shit's got to change.
Yeah.
We got to be better. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of the takeaway from it. And that's something that I hate to say, it's like something that I've always known, but that's something, and not always, but something that I've came into this conversation or that question knowing.
Well, if people had a better committed mentality, I think that it would be a lot better.
When was the last time y'all had to use y'all's dad voice in the house?
It's been a while. Well, I got older kids than y'all, so mine has been a while.
Give me exact example of dad voice.
The kids acting up. Or they're not listening to mom.
Yeah, my kids haven't acted up in a long time.
Like you got grown ass kids.
Yeah, I get loud.
Your kids is like young.
Yeah, but still, Nay's a wild one. She's not bad or nothing, but she for sure like she.
Yo,
she,
man, how you gonna switch the topic? We gotta wrap this up. On that note, cue the music.